Now, for those of you, seriously, you need some prayer this morning. You got something going on in your life. You don't have to share it. You don't have to tell us what it is. But you would like to be prayed for because God knows what you're going through. And let me say this to you. You're going to go through a lot of stuff in life that you don't appreciate. Understand this. In order to get you ready for glory, to get you ready for the kingdom of God in eternity, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of dross that's got to be burnt out here. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's in the marriage. Sometimes it's in the finances. But each and every one of us in here, and I know what I'm talking about because I've come through level after level after level after level. Had I been God, I would never have called me to the ministry. Never. And most of us can say, had I been God, I wouldn't have called me to the kingdom of God. But we come into the ministry, we come into the kingdom with all of our warts and moles and scar tissue and all the stuff that's affected us in life. And some of you are going through things right now, emotionally, spiritually, physically, but it's all part of the process of getting you ready for glory. Amen. It's a part of conforming you to Christ's likeness. You say, well, wait a minute. How can this back here conform me to Christ's likeness? Ask him when you see him. But we're all coming through something, one way or the other to some degree. Now, for those of you who are coming through something and you'd like to have prayer this morning, stand up. Heavenly Father, you know why each individual has stood. And Father, we realize that at times we come through things we don't understand. Sometimes it's physical, emotional, spiritual. Sometimes it's in the workplace. Sometimes it's at home. But Father, the Word teaches us that we're each and every one of us who've been born again are being conformed to Christ's likeness. You know where the pressure is needed. You know what needs to change. And you know how to work all things in accordance with your will to bring us through the process of sanctification. Amen. And Father, we say, don't let up on us. Conform us to Christ's likeness, whatever that means, whatever that requires. Conform us to Christ's likeness. We want to be conformed. But Father, I lift up those to you this morning who are dealing with emotional, spiritual issues. Sometimes that's because of wounds and bruises in the spirit. And I'm asking you to touch them. Father, some suffer these things in childhood. Some in their teen years, early years. But Father, you know the source of every wound and every bruise in every spirit. Yes. And then, Father, there are those who are dealing with physical issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues. You know the need of each and every one in this room. And Father, so far as I know, everyone in this room is your child. And you love your children. But you've got to train us. You've got to prepare us for glory. You've got to prepare us for eternity. So I'm asking for grace. For those who need a touch in their physical body this morning, I'm asking you to bring relief. Relief, Lord. I'm asking you to bring healing, whether it's instantaneous or whether it's gradual, over a series of days or weeks or months or years. But in the end, be glorified. Amen. And Father, there are those this morning that are facing issues this morning. They really don't know how to approach. I'm asking for wisdom. I ask you to lead, guide, and direct us. Give us sensitivity to the leadership of your Holy Spirit. And day by day, Jesus, Holy Spirit, conform us to Christ Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Now I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I don't understand but I accept. I pray as you prayed. Thy will be done. Anoint me to submit and to surrender to your will and receive the benefits therefrom. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now turn to somebody and say, I hope the Lord hears that prayer. He will. He'll hear it. He will. He'll hear it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, hopefully. I've entitled this, Press On, Regardless. It's not always easy to press on. Every day of the world, when you wake up, Satan has already been up and around. Every unclean spirit out of hell, waiting on you to get up, to discourage you, disappoint you, in some way neutralize you, in some way compromise you, compromise your walk with the Lord, make you doubt His goodness, make you doubt His kindness, make you doubt your own position in Christ. But understand this. You've been born again. With your last heartbeat, you're going to glory. Amen. With your last heartbeat, you're going to glory. Now, as we look at this press on, regardless, there are hindrances in life that you're going to bump into that resist your keeping on. Every day of the world, to one degree or another, you're going to meet them. Discouragement, disappointment, whatever it may be. And then sometimes you just suffer from battle fatigue. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you've come through the stuff to the point that you just have battle fatigue. Then we all have disappointments and discouragement. I don't have personal discouragements. I really don't, except my own failures. But I'm discouraged with what I see happening in the nation and the nations of the world. And I know where it's headed. I've read the last chapter. I know where it's going. Then sometimes we look back across our life. And if we're not careful, we'll spend a lot of time looking at all the failures. And we don't come beyond the failures. Life is full of failures, one way or the other. We have failures in our life. But you got to remember this, the last chapter. With the last heartbeat, I'm in glory. Amen. It's over, it's finished, it's done, and I'm a part of His eternal ongoing kingdom. Now, you're coming through a thing with your mother, right? And each of you are coming through your own situations. Don't ever stop thinking and understanding that Jesus is walking through it with you. Amen. And He's the only one at times that can bring you the comfort, the peace. He's the only one at times that can show you the way through and out of the situation you're in. And sometimes there is no way out other than death, than glory. I mean, this is reality. This is reality. So as we come through this morning, starting with Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, and I'd really like to preach about four verses, but I'm going to try to cover more than that. But there's three or four verses in here that really stirred me. It made me stop and pause and think. So beginning with verse 1, Paul says to the church of Philippi, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." Now look at verse 2. "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilators, the mutilation. Beware of the dogs, those who try to tear you down." That's not speaking of Gentiles here. This is talking about people in the mix in life. You've got people every day of the world who get up, they want to discourage you. They don't know Christ. They don't know what it means to belong to Christ. They don't have the joy. They don't have the peace. They don't have the comfort of knowing Christ. And you're surrounded by people, and some of them are in your family. This is reality. But every day of the world, you're going to run across those people that want to tear you down. They want to discourage you. They want to disappoint you. So he says, beware of dogs. That's what he's referring to. Beware of evil workers. We're surrounded by evil workers every day. We're surrounded by evil workers every day. Beware of the mutilation. Those who insisted on circumcision. That you had to be circumcised to be saved. No, the only thing you've got to do to be saved is admit you're a sinner, receive Christ as your Savior, be born again, adopted into the family of God, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and die and go to glory.
Amen.
That's all that's involved there. Dogs, those with unholy tastes and desires. That's what it refers to. That's the description of dogs here. We all know people, or we did know people, with unholy taste, evil desires, then evil workers, those whose lifestyle, practices, and messages are ungodly. And you're surrounded by these people every day. Some of them you have them in your family. Reality is reality. But every day of the world, you're going to be surrounded by evil workers. Most of us are. Those whose lifestyle, their practices, and their message. Their message in life is an ungodly message. The mutilators, those in his day that insisted on circumcision to be made right with God. Cutting off a little piece of the foreskin does not make you right with God. The only thing that makes you right with God is being born again, yep. Receiving Christ as your Savior. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. For we are the circumcision. Circumcision in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense. It's a circumcision of the heart. Cutting away that in the heart which is ungodly, unholy. Cutting away that in the heart which defiles. Joe, pick your Bible up and put it in your lap. Raising kids for fun and profit. See, when you got it laying over here, you're not reading what I'm saying. I raised this boy. It's okay. I raised him. I raised him. It's all right.
I can turn my head and read.
So, just keep in your lap. Follow along with me. Read the scriptures.
Okay.
Raising kids for fun and profit. Sometimes not a lot of fun, sometimes not a lot of profit. But nonetheless, raising kids. So, once again, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. How do you worship God in the Spirit? How do you worship God in the Spirit? It's more than just raising the hands. It's more than doing a little jig, a little dance. It's one-on-one. When you worship God in the Spirit, you can share with Him and you can open to Him everything in your life that you know should not be in your life. You can talk to Him about everything in your thought life that you know shouldn't be in your thought life. It's coming one-on-one with Him. It's one-on-one, getting into the presence of God and recognizing who He is, omniscient, omnipotent. Omnipresent, that He knows your every thought before you have the next thought. He knows everything in your bloodline. He knows the sins of the fathers. He knows everything that has ever touched you spiritually, emotionally, physically. He knows that. He understands your responses. He understands your reactions. He still understands, and He does understand, why to this day you are still responding and reacting to certain things in life as you do, which you should not respond the way you respond. He understands the source of anger. He understands, and you see, this is a biggie. That's a biggie. He understands the source of your discouragement. He understands the source of your disappointment. He knows what was in the bloodline that you picked up as a result being in the bloodline, and this is all in the Scripture. It's all in the Scriptures. You don't hear a lot of preaching on it, a lot of teaching on it, but it's reality. So, in John chapter 4, verse 24, now we just said, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Now, in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. Watch this carefully. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must. Not could, not should, must worship him in spirit and truth. How do you do that? How do you worship God in spirit and in truth? It's more than lip service. It's more than doing this so they'll think I'm okay. It's a matter of being quiet, being still before God, acknowledging and admitting everything in your life that you know is ungodly and holy, that is interacting with your prayer life, blocking your prayer life, it's dimming your light, it is in some way affecting you as a salt, it is affecting you as a child of God. It diminishes the effectiveness of the salt that you're to be. It diminishes the light that you're supposed to be. Until we get to the place that we can go to God and say, Lord, and then tell him what's going on. Tell him about your thought life. Tell him about your reactions, your responses. What you really feel about things. What you really feel about people. Any way and every way which you are un-Christ-like. That's what he's really talking about. God is spirit. And those that worship him, if you're going to worship him, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How much of what we do is just religious practice? Stop and think about it. How much of what we do is just religious practice? But you see, to worship him in spirit and in truth, that means I've got to recognize him for who he is. I've got to recognize him for who he is. My recognition. I have to recognize him not only for who he is. Hear me now. I've got to recognize him for all he is. I'm not only going to recognize him for who he is. He holds my next heartbeat in his hand. Amen. My next breath. He knows the beginning and the end from the beginning. He knows everything that's ever touched my life. He knows everything that I've never discussed with anybody else that touched my life. He knows what wounded you in your spirit, in your soul. He knows what bruised you. He knows why you are reacting to life the way you react. He even knows why you overeat. Wait a minute, Martin, you're meddling now. No, we develop habits. We develop excuses. We develop all kinds of defense mechanisms. And we develop systems to satisfy I, the big I, on the throne of my life. We try to avoid this, avoid that, embrace this, embrace that. Life is full of disappointment. Life is full of discouragement. Life is full of emotional, spiritual, physical pain. But it is as we come through those different levels of emotional, physical, spiritual pain and find out he has a solution to it. He is the answer to it. Only he can take away the pain that's attendant to that. When you get there and you realize I can go to him, discuss anything in my life with him. I can talk to him about anything and everything that's bothering me, that's a pain to me, emotionally, spiritually, or physically. What about the testing, the temptations, the trials? You can take it all to him. So, I've got to recognize him for who he is, and I've got to recognize him for all that he is. And that's biggie. That's the biggie once I start getting there. He is the source of everything in life. He knows my every expression of life. He knows my responses to life. He knows why I respond the way I do. He knows why I react the way I do. And he understands my responses just as he does yours. You have from time to time, mentally, emotionally, if not outwardly, you have some responses and reactions to life that sometimes are buried way down deep inside. And you wouldn't want anybody to see those responses. You wouldn't want anybody to see those reactions because you know it's there. He knows it's there. And so you may as well talk to him about it. You may as well go before him and say, this is here, this is there. So understanding is, he understands all that has ever touched my life. What's true of me is true of you. From your infancy, from the moment he knows what touched you when you were still in the womb. He knows what affected you in the womb, what influenced you in the womb. And then when you came out of the womb, coming through the different levels and stages of life, he knows everything that has touched you, bruised you, wounded you, which is why you respond and react the way you do from some of the things that you respond and react. Understand who he is and all that he is. Once you start dealing with that, all that he is the source of every expression of life in the planet, in the universe. He is the source from the smallest expression of life to the largest expression of life. He is the source of life. And he is the source of eternal life. And outside of him, we don't really have a chance. But in him, we have every opportunity. We have everything we could possibly want, embrace, or need. In all of creation, in every expression of life of whatever kind, he rules. He is God. He has created life. He gave birth to life. He understands life. He understands everything that's ever touched your life. Many times we don't understand. Many times we really don't understand all that has touched us, that is influencing us and affecting us as we react and respond to life. The question is, how do I respond to him? How do I respond to him? And then I have to ask myself this, who is he to me personally? Ask yourself that. Who is God? Who is Jesus to me personally? Do I know him personally? Is he a friend? Is he my friend? Is he my Savior? Is he my Redeemer? If he's my Savior, my Redeemer, I can go to him with anything and everything that touches my life, that bothers me. I can take it to him and I can discuss it with him. He understands. He understands before I discuss it with him because he knows it's there before I mention it to him. He already knows it's there. Paul the Apostle had to come to grips with that. He had to come to grips with all of that. Philippians 3:4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. He had all the credentials. He had all the credentials and without Christ. Did you hear me? He had all the credentials, but he was without Christ Jesus. And we have a world full of people like that. We have a church full of people like that, what we call the church. And I've told you time and time again, the church is not that organization known as the church. The church is the organism of the church, made up of those who have received Christ, been born again, and dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That is the church. The organization known as the church does not qualify. Philippians 3:6. Concerning zeal, talking about his lifestyle. Concerning zeal as a Hebrew, concerning zeal as a tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He thought he was right. He was persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You see, in his expression of religious life, he saw himself as blameless in the sight of God because I'm doing all that the law says I should do. He had not yet come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you, please hear me, I've talked about this and I've taught this so many times. Please understand this. Each and every one of us came into the family of God as an infant, as a spiritual infant. And we have people performing ministry in the body of Christ who themselves are still spiritual infants. We do. That's just the reality of life. We've got people involved in leadership in the body of Christ who themselves are still spiritual infants. I think maybe I may be approaching adolescence. I'm not sure. I'd like to think I'm approaching adolescence, and some of you know exactly what I mean. You see, the minute you think you've arrived, you haven't. Because the minute you think you've arrived, you find out the next day that you haven't arrived, and maybe find out the same day that you have not arrived, because of a reactional response to life. Persecuting the church. He thought he was doing God a favor. Persecuting the church. Paul was present, you recall, at the stoning of Stephen. We go to Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Do you know how they stoned a person to death? Sometimes they would dig a hole and put him in up to the waist. Then pack dirt around him. And then those who were going to stone him to death would stand back and throw stones at him until he died. It was that simple. Sometimes they'd stake him down and stand, hit him with stones until he died. He was there. He was there at the stoning of Stephen, and Stephen is our first recorded martyr. Our first recorded martyr, but he was there, Paul was there, holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen and encouraging them to throw the rocks a little bit harder to finish the job, to get it done. So Paul, looking back over his life, and he's talking about some of it here, in verse 58 of Acts chapter 7, talking about the stoning of Stephen, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul of Tarsus, that we know as Paul the Apostle. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained for me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He counted everything, listen to me carefully, he counted everything he once found to be significant to be nothing. How much time have we wasted in life trying to achieve something that we felt was significant, that realistically in the long run was not significant at all? How much time and effort did we invest in? That's exactly what he did. Once he realized the reality of Christ Jesus, he realized the reality of who Christ was and all that Christ was. He then realized that everything he had counted important was unimportant. Totally unimportant. How many of us have been there? Amen. It's not what you drive. No. It's not what you live. No. It's not how you dress, as long as you dress modestly. But we put so much credibility on so much that is worth nothing in the long run. And in terms of time and eternity, it is worth nothing. Because when you stand before the judgment bar of God, it counts for nothing. The only thing that counts there is, did I submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Was I born again? And as I come through the stages, those five different stages of spiritual development, did I come continually, increasingly more Christ-like? And that's the key. Every day of the world, we're to become increasingly more Christ-like. Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost. Everything I used to think was important, I counted it as loss. Indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now watch this. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I have rejected everything which I once esteemed. I've rejected everything that I esteemed as being important in life. And now he counts everything that he once esteemed, he counts it as garbage. How much of my life do I look back and say that was garbage? How much of your life can you look back and you say that was simply garbage? I thought it was so important. I thought it was important this and that and the other. But I look back on it now in the light of who he is and who I am and who I am in him and what I'm looking forward to in eternity. And I look back and I say, It was garbage. In light of what I have gained in Christ Jesus, that's what he's saying. He's saying, when I compare what I was, what I did, what I had, when I compare all that with having received Christ Jesus, that was garbage. All that religious activity. Do you realize the world is full of religious activity?
Yes, sir.
Outside of Christ, the world is full of religious activity. He esteemed them the loss in light of what he had gained in Christ Jesus. He said, when I consider what I've gained in Christ Jesus, everything else that I used to put so much importance on, that was so important, that was a priority in my life, now it's nothing compared to Christ Jesus. It is absolutely nothing in my life. Can you say that? Can you look back across your life and you look at all the stuff that you once counted as, this is important, I got to get this, I got to get that, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to be this, I got to be that. Can you look back on that and say, nonsense? The only thing that really counts is being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The only thing that really counts is becoming increasingly Christ-like in every expression of life, in everything I am, everything I say, everything I do, my thought life, everything has to come down, is it Christ-likeness? Everything in life pales into insignificance beside that. When you stack that up, and you say the only thing that really matters is my Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness in my marriage. Christ-likeness in the office. Christ-likeness in the market. Christ-likeness wherever I go, whatever I may be involved in, whatever I'm doing. Christ-likeness. Being conformed to the Christ-likeness. That is the only thing that's important. That's the only thing that takes any weight with God. That's the only thing that carries any weight with God is, am I submitted and surrendered? I could hurt some feelings in here. I think I will. Stop for just a moment and think about the things in your life that are unchristlike. And you can start in traffic. That's a good place to start. Start in traffic. Your responses, your reactions. And then once you move beyond that, move into interaction, reactions. How do I respond to this in life? And how do I respond to that in life? And maybe I'm standing here smiling and I'm being so sweet and so nice, but inside I'm a... It's what you are inside that counts. It's what you are inside. Not just what you display, it's what you are inside that counts. And the only way you can be inside what God wants you to be inside is if you're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, you've got to be born again.
Amen.
And then enabled and empowered. Philippians 3:9, Paul goes on, and be found in him, are you, see, in Christ, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. In other words, he was without a flaw, religiously speaking, in his expression of religion. He was a Pharisee. He says, as a Pharisee, in obedience to the law, I was flawless. And be found in him, in Jesus, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Do you realize, with all of your flaws and ups and downs and ins and outs, if you've been born again, you've been made as righteous as Christ himself. See, we have trouble grasping that. With all your flaws, all your, don't give up on yourself. God hadn't give up on you. God's not going to give up on you. And he's going to continue to allow you to confront situations and circumstances that will help temper you and mold you and make you more Christ-like just as you learn how to respond and react. This is realistic Christianity, folks. This is Christianity. The whole idea, once I'm born again, is I've got to continually be conformed to Christ-likeness, and God knows what it's going to take in my life to get me to submit and surrender that I can be conformed to Christ-likeness. He knows the same thing about you. He knows everything that's ever touched your life, I'm telling you. Once you understand, my Heavenly Father understands me. I may not understand me, but he understands me. He understands my reactions, my responses. He understands everything that's ever touched my life. Once again, Paul says, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, some system of religion, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, and be found in him. Once again, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. It is through faith in Christ Jesus that you are made as righteous as God himself.
Amen.
Now that's the truth Satan never wants you to understand. Satan never wants you to understand that in Christ Jesus you are as righteous as God himself. You're indwelt by the creative power of this universe. You can submit and surrender daily to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He wants to manifest himself in you and through you in whatever expression he wants to prompt in you at that time. You have to understand that. Are you willing for him to, are you willing to submit and surrender to him so he can do that? That's the key. The righteousness which is imputed and imparted through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the only righteousness, really. That righteousness which is imputed in Christ Jesus, imparted through Christ Jesus, that's what makes you right with God. And having been born again, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, everything out of hell, don't want you to understand that. Because once you understand that spiritual truth, you say, wait a minute. I'm born again. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm indwelt by the creative power of this universe. I am a believer priest. I'm to do hardness as a good soldier. I've been adopted into the family of God, and nothing out of hell can take me out of that family. That makes you a threat to hell. Because you see, get up in the morning and you say, wait a minute. Nothing coming down the pike at me today that my Heavenly Father didn't understand before he ever created the world. He knows everything that has ever touched my life. He knows everything that's going to touch my life. And he's watching and waiting for my reaction to that which touches my life. Do I return and do I respond in Christ's likeness? All that's involved in this. And be found in him, not having my own. If you think this is a tough message, you ought to try to preach it. I spent hours looking at two or three verses here. Look at this. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. And most religious systems, that's where it's at. Most systems of religion. But that which is through faith in Christ. By my faith in Christ Jesus, I've been made righteous in the sight of God. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
As one born again, with all your flaws, with all your hang-ups, with those expressions of life that you have not yet gained the victory over, you want the victory, but you don't have the victory yet. But yet, even in your lack of victory over that, you are still in the sight of God as righteous as God himself in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You pose a threat to hell.
Yes, sir.
Once you, and you see, Satan does not want you to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, because once you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you become a threat to him. And you become a threat to hell, which is why we want you to become more and more like Christ Jesus. That righteousness, which is imputed and imparted. Get this. When you come to Christ, born again, he imputed to you the righteousness of Christ. He imputed to you, counted to you, gave it to you. You became as righteous as God himself when you were born again. That's what the Word says. We don't grasp that very easily. We come through all the ups and downs of life and the trials and the temptations and the testing, and somehow we lose sight of the fact that, wait a minute, God has made me as righteous as himself in Christ Jesus. Not in my denomination, not in my system of belief, but in Christ Jesus. When I became one with Christ Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf in our iniquities, like the wind have taken us away. That's before you got saved. He recognizes who he was, who we were, and what we were before we got saved, which, once again, but we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. That's before Christ. Now we come to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What kind of power does it take to raise a dead man? I was dead in my trespasses and sins. All of us who've been born again, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. What kind of power did it take to bring us out of our death in sin to alive in God through Christ Jesus? What kind of power does that take? What kind of power does it take to say, stars, sun, moon, earth, planets? You're indwelt with that power. You're indwelt with that power. You see, we're so used to going in church and sitting down and listening with a half an ear to something that really doesn't stir our hearts and make us understand this is who you are in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand this morning. No weapon formed against you will prosper. When you're submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when you're submitted and surrendered to obeying him regardless of the cost, nothing out of hell can stop you. But you have to believe that. You have to receive that. You have to live that. Because day after day after day, Satan is going to try to diminish your faith, fracture your faith, somehow cripple you spiritually, emotionally, so you can't be all that Christ died to make you who you are. Hope you're getting this. Paul goes on, that I may know him. Know him. Know him. Know him. And the power. He said, I don't want to just know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. It's not enough just to say, I have a passing knowledge of him. No, he says, I want to know him intimately, passionately, personally. Is that you? Can you say with Paul, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to walk in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my soul. I'm telling you, churches are full this morning of people who don't have the foggiest idea of what I'm talking about. Do not have the foggiest idea of what I'm talking about until you experience the resurrection of power. Until you have been there. And the only way you experience resurrection power is you've got to be in the warfare. You've got to be in the battle. You've got to have everything out of hell coming against you, trying to discourage you, disappoint you, cripple you, make you fail. You have to understand who you are and what's available to you, and that it is warfare every morning of the world. When you get up, all hell is waiting to discourage you and defeat you. And then you say, wait a minute, I'm indwelt by the creative power of the universe. I have access to the throne of God. I have access to the creative power of the universe. He's my Father. I can call him Father. Nothing out of hell can control me when I submit to my Father. When I submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, nothing out of hell can control me. Philippians 3:11. He said, well, let me go back to verse 10 again. That I may know him. Know him. Know him. Know him. Do you know how many husbands spend a lifetime with their wives and don't know their wives? How many wives really don't know their husband? All they know some of his ups and downs and ins and outs. See, I know Sharon Martin. I can clear my throat and she knows whether I want coffee or water. But you know what? Intimacy. We spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and weeks and months laying on the bed talking to each other about everything that ever touched our life from childhood up. Everything that ever touched our life, ever wounded us, ever bruised us, ever scarred us. And so in that intimacy of discussion, we got to know each other. And if you have such a marriage as that, be thankful for it. Satan will do everything he can to destroy it. You have to stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Trust God, he'll bring you through. But my point is this: intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. You're not going to tell him anything that catches him by surprise. You're not going to tell him anything that he doesn't already know. He's just waiting for you to admit it. Lord, I got a problem here. Lord, I got a problem here. I got a problem here. Oh, my soul. How many of you in here this morning? I'm going to embarrass you, okay? How many in here this morning can raise your hand before the Lord and say, I would to God I had not gone where I went, did what I did, and said what I said? It's all of us. A bunch of sinners saved by grace. But glory be to God, we are sinners saved by grace. Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, adopted into the family of God, believer, priest, clout in heaven with God. Philippians 3:11. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, verse 12, now, not that I have already attained, as an already perfected, but I press on. That's the name of the message, pressing on. Not that I have already attained. Now, this is Paul the Apostle, who was caught up to the third heaven, saying this: not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Look at that. I press on. I want to grasp that for which Christ grasped me. Folks, you could spend a long time on that one verse. You could spend a long time on that. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold on me. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do. This is a biggie. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting the sins of the past. Forgetting the mistakes of the past. Forgetting everything in my past. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, I realize I haven't arrived. That's what he's saying. I haven't arrived. This is Paul the Apostle. But one thing I do. He's saying, this is the priority of my life. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget the mistakes. Forget the failures. Forget the sin, the sinful actions and attitudes, responses, reactions. Forgetting those things which are behind. And by the way, that's not always easy. That's not always easy. Forgetting what I said, what I did, where I went. You see, God has forgotten things I can't forget. Hear me. The Word says if I confess my sin, He forgets that sin. He is faithful and just to forgive me for my sin. And the Word of God says He has removed from us, as far as the east is from the west, our transgressions, our sins. That means He doesn't remember your sins. Now, I remember my sins. You remember your sins because Satan will make sure you do remember your sins. But our Heavenly Father does not remember. They've been moved as far as the east is from the west. God has forgotten things I can't forget. I wish I could, but I can't. God has forgotten them. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? I keep on keeping on. In spite of all the opposition, in spite of discouragement, in spite of defeat, in spite of everything that comes against me, He says, I keep on keeping on. I intend to align my life with the call of God all my life. That's what he's saying. I intend to align my life with the call of God on my life. And I choose, he says, I choose to continually be conformed to Christ's likeness. Can you say that? That's my choice, Heavenly Father. Day by day, I choose to be continually conformed to Christ's likeness. What's my goal? An eternity in heaven, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Last heartbeat is over. Goodbye, world. Hello, glory. Last heartbeat. The goal, eternity in heaven, after this earthly life is finished. Once this is all over, eternity in glory. So let me say this to you. Don't give up on yourself. God's not going to give up on you. Yeah, please hear me. I've been saying this for weeks now because you've got to understand this. You have got to come through. There's no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. You've got to come through these levels of Christian growth and maturity. Starting out as an infant, too much of the church is still in infancy. So much of the church is still in spiritual infancy, or we wouldn't be where we are as a nation. But we are there. Much of the church is there. But you've got to come through level after level, layer after level, five different levels you've got to come through to reach any degree of spiritual maturity. I've been at this for a while now, and I still haven't reached spiritual maturity. I still find reactions and responses that I wish were not there mentally, emotionally. But through it all and in it all, the anchor holds. Exactly. The anchor holds. Lord Jesus, Father, I've tried to stumble through this, hoping that somehow I can express something of your heart concerning us as your children. What you want of us, what you want from us, who you are to us, all that you are to us. Jesus, the word tells us we're to be conformed to your Christ likeness. We're to be conformed to your likeness. I submit and surrender every day of my life. I want to do that, Father. I want to submit and surrender every day of my life to become increasingly more Christ-like. Amen. In every reaction, in every response of my life. And I pray that for the precious souls here this morning, Lord. I pray that you will stir our hearts with a desire to become increasingly more Christ-like in all we are, say, do, and think. And this I ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Turn to somebody and say, not enough just to go to church. Not enough just to belong to church. Any questions or anything I taught this morning? See, I'm used to teaching classes and that kind of stuff in New Orleans and different places when I was teaching over there weekly by weekly. But I always give them a chance to ask a question if something wasn't clear. Has anybody got any questions?
Yes, Pastor Bob.
I can always count Isabel for questions.